Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
So tonight, really what's in my heart and kind of how we want to launch this whole theme is what is God's love like? And I know most of us have been around church a bit, which means we must have been around God a little bit longer. I know most of us have some experience, whether it's good, bad or ugly, of the love of God. And that doesn't necessarily help. Okay, so as much as we can, park that. Because as I was kind of thinking about this and praying about this, it's like, you know, it's pretty easy. Go to 1 Corinthians 13 and just read out loads of things. And by the time you get to verse 5, you kind of got a bit challenged because, you know, love is patient. Or I don't get to the end of the book and then it's love is patient. Well, I want to get, and already you get challenged. Unless you're just perfect, in which case maybe we should swap. But I just get challenged when it says love is patient, love is kind, etc., etc. And as I was kind of thinking and praying about tonight, I felt the Lord say, okay, I want to speak to everybody, including me, so I'm listening to this as well, not just about God's love, but what does that look like when people try to live with it? So the whole theme of this subject is love actually conquers all. Love does conquer all. But not our love, not our experience of it, not maybe our abundance of it or our lack of it, but the love of God literally conquers all. It was made to, it was designed to. The love of God is indestructible. The love of God reaches out beyond our experience into our past, present and future all at the same time. And I'm going to look at just one chapter. We're just going to dip in and out of one chapter in the Bible about one person's life who had tremendous crisis come upon him. And this is David. And the reason why I've chosen David is because God searched the face of humanity at that time to find someone whose heart was after God's heart. And I thought to myself, right, if this is someone who lived with a heart after God's heart, then he's a great example of what that heart must be like and look like. So I'm not going down the obvious route. If you know Jesus, I know that. But David was a forerunner of a Jesus kind of person. And I thought, okay, I'm just going to have a look at this and let God speak to me. So it's 1 Samuel chapter 30. And the kind of the subheading for this message is this one. Family crisis, life not treating you well, got the hump, your attitude, got a lump, your emotion, or got a bump in your journey, then we're going to find out why the love of God conquers all. So whether we just have a bit of crisis going on, we have a little bit of the hump with something or somebody, or whether we just find ahead of us is a bit of a bumpy road, a bit of a bumpy journey, then we're just going to look at how David dealt with stuff which most of us would never deal with, but he dealt with it because he knew what God's love looked like. Is that okay? Who wants this book? Yours. Enjoy it. So 1 Samuel 30, I'm not going to read all of it, just some of it. It said, David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. And Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and they had taken captive the women who were in it, both young and old. They had killed none of them, but carried them all off. Let me tell you something. David was at the pinnacle of his success, and yet suddenly everything he loved, cherished, every part of his family, his household was stolen. First thing about the love of God, and we heard this a little bit last week, is the love of God refuses to let what is stolen stay stolen. The love of God won't allow what has been robbed to stay robbed. The love of God will not tolerate stealing. The love of God wants to restore, reconcile and put back what has been robbed or stolen or even borrowed with a wrong attitude. We go on a little bit further in this chapter. David and his men came to Ziklag. They found it destroyed by fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. Verse 4. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. Love drains us of our human strength, but engages us with the strength that is in the love of God. I don't know what kind of crisis we're having. I don't know what kind of bump is in the journey of our life. I don't know what kind of hump we have with people, but what I do know is that God's love covers every bump, it lowers every mountain and raises every valley. All I do know is that in the love of God, man, we can be in the lowest point, but God's love comes under it and lifts us up. All I know is that the love of God is so strong, it's so passionate, that where the passion of God is, He just does things. I know that. I know the love of God has got nothing to do with me having a lot or me having nothing. The love of God never changes. And these guys suddenly realized that what they loved, what they dreamed, what they cared for had been stolen from them. And it says they wept aloud. How many times as blokes, okay, it's good that women have a time away, winter wonderland, hallelujah. But I think within the blokes' hearts, if you're a man here and you're either going to Great Escape or coming to tea with my wife, or you're a bloke, right? There's nobody in the middle. Is that God wants us to be men of integrity, men that know how to weep before God and weep before one another, because in that you become real in the love of Jesus. I think David become totally stronger in this verse than it'd ever been before. Why? Because he let his emotion free in front of other blokes and he didn't care. I believe he connected with these men in a totally different level because his passion was to see restored what someone had stolen. And he wasn't going to get in the way of it through any emotional hang-ups. Oh, it's not good to cry in front of men. We need to get over ourselves a little bit. The love of God cries. It expresses itself. Jesus wept. Why? Because in this love of God is total security in our emotion. We're moved with love. Hallelujah. Then it goes on. David's two wives in verse 5 had been captured. These two funny names. Verse 6. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Here's a bit of a crisis. Not everybody that loves you likes you all the time. Have you noticed that? Not everybody that likes you loves you all the time. And not everybody that says they love you like you all the time. Sometimes people just want to stone us. Or is that maybe just me? Come to Bible school and I'll put you in front of a whole bunch of people. Sometimes it feels like that. But the point is this. The greatest rock that was ever thrown was Jesus himself. There is an old saying that says, you know, sticks and stones, lardy, lardy, lardy. Well, let me tell you, when you go out into the world that you're in tomorrow, stones are there. They want to have a go at you, but the love of Christ defends you. The love of God will guard you. The love of God will deliver you. The love of God will protect you from the stones that people want to throw, and it will change their mind. Because out there, the garden isn't rosy. It's weedy. But God's love will kill the weeds in the right sense and restore the right kind of atmosphere and environment over there. It says David was greatly distressed. People were going to stone him. Each one was bitter in spirit because his sons and daughters had been taken. Why? Because outside the love of God, there is a blame culture. It's got to be someone's fault that I'm like this. Let me tell you, it's not God's fault. I'll say that again, it's not God's fault. It's not God's fault that we get irritated and we get frustrated. But God has a solution, even though it's not his fault, and it's called the love of God. It's called the love of Jesus. It's called the love which covers every sin, covers every heartache, covers every action, covers every reaction. It's called the love of God which refuses to take prejudice as its normal. The love of God reaches out. Are you still with me here? This is just the story of David. We haven't even got to the best bit yet. Woohoo! The love of God is powerful. It's not just a concept of, well, God's loving, isn't he? Yeah, but it's strong. It's powerful. It makes forgiveness acceptable to us and available to you and to me. I think that's great. Man, if anybody in this room, including me, should be stoned, it's us. But because of the love of God, we're not. Thank you, Jesus. And he wasn't either. It goes on here. Each one was bitter. There was just a heart. There was an anger. There was a sense of loss. There was a sense of what I've loved has been taken from me. But, and I love this, David found strength in the Lord his God. in the character, in the nature of God is strength. Strength to heal the brokenhearted. Strength to heal the broken body. Strength to restore the broken emotional life. The love of God is so strong. As we begin to strengthen ourselves, not in being right or being wrong, not strengthening ourselves in, you know, is this or is that. No, we strengthen ourselves in the love of God, we get changed. Doesn't change the love of God at all. Just changes how we live in it. I'm describing to you what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 looks like when you put legs and arms to it. Do you understand that? Otherwise, we could just do a Bible study and say, that was a great Bible study. But actually, there are physical expressions of the love of God. God wants to put his love, the Bible says, in our hearts. He's done that, the Bible says, by his Holy Spirit. So God's expecting us to love like David loved. Is that okay to say that? Bit of a challenge, right? Let's just read on a little bit more. David said to the priest, bring me the ephod. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God, okay, God, what am I going to do? Let me tell you something about the love of God. It keeps God's ear open to your mouth. The love of God refuses to close God's ear to your cry, to your heart, to your longing. The love of God will always be available for you to call upon him. The love of God is not fickle. It's not here one minute, gone the next. The love of God is permanent, is eternal, is the same. Hallelujah. And David found out, I'm just going to ask God, God, what should I do? God, what should I do? Everybody in this room, whether you've got a crisis of conscience, whether you've got a bump in the road, whether you just got the hump, you call upon God and he will answer you in love. Not in judgment, not in criticism, not in condemnation. Not, oh, well, you know, sort it out. And when you sorted it out, come and find me. He will always answer you and me in love because that's who he is. Hallelujah. Don't you just love God? So David said, shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? Pursue them, God said. You will certainly overtake them. Here's something about the love of God, which we may have heard in a different setting. I started the kind of the message with this, is whatever is pursuing you, God wants you to overtake it. Whatever is trying to steal that sense of the love of God from you, or just through relationships, or just through friendships, God wants you to overtake those things. Let's put it this way. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came that you and I would have life. Let's put it this way. There is no greater love than a man lays down his life for a friend. Man, God wants to put friendship back into church. I don't just mean we say nice things one day and talk about them the next. But man, we're going to champion people whether they're with us or whether they're not. We're going to raise people up amongst us. When people are critical, man, we're not going to make excuses for them. We're going to defend them. Because that's what was going on here. This is what God was saying to David. He said, David, don't worry. You're going to overtake this. You're going to get this sorted through. You're going to get this all right. It's going to be all right in the end. How many of you are so thankful? Is that you? Was that you or me? Was it? Just for the I've listened on the tape, that was Josh twiddling. He's a legend. In his own lunchtime. Just read a little bit more. Pursue them because you will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. I just love this about the love of God. The love of God is always successful. Always comes out on top. Always wins. Love conquers all. Defeats every sin. Stops every lie. Defeats every sickness. The love of God wins. God wants you in his love to succeed. He wants you to be the greatest you can be. He wants you to be the most fruitful you could ever be. He wants you to be the most successful you could ever be. How's he going to do that? Because he loves you. In fact, he's going to love us until we just do it. He's going to love us until we just be it. I think that's wonderful. David and the 600 men in verse 9 came to this ravine where some stayed behind. For 200 were too exhausted to cross the ravine, but David and 400 men continued the pursuit. They found an Egyptian. Interesting. This bit shouldn't have happened. The love of God has no prejudice in it. Whether we're Egyptian or Jew or Gentile or free or slave, the love of God covers everybody. The love of God is for humanity, not just for English people that look like you or French people that look like these guys. The love of God knows no national boundaries. The love of God has no prejudice in it. That's why we need to hear about how do we love people that don't look like us? How do we love people that just believe in a different faith than we do? How do we love people that just don't have the same language as us? Because that is the love of God. Does it accept everybody like that? No, it doesn't, but it makes everybody acceptable, which is different. Are you still following me?
Yes.
Excellent, because we've got a few more minutes yet. They found the Egyptian in a field and brought him to David. They gave him water to drink and food to eat. This is tremendous love. Love doesn't reject. Love doesn't turn away. Love embraces people. Well, they don't go to the same church as me. So what? Oh, they don't look like me. So what? They don't talk like me. So what? Is it our job to change them? No, but it is our responsibility to love them. One of the things that most Christians do, and I think we have to say sorry to Jesus for this, is we want people actually to be a Christian like we are. God's love is not interested in making people like we are. God's love wants to make people like he is, not like we is. God is not interested in having a clonism religion. He wants people to live as Christians, little Christs. That's his heart, that's his passion, that's his intention. He ate and drank the water for three... He had not eaten anything. The love of God will force us, and I use that word deliberately, the love of God will force us to feed people that sometimes we might just pass by in life. The love of God will cause us to give into a nation that maybe none of us will ever go. We just read about it on the newspaper. Well, the love of God doesn't just come in black and white. It comes with passion and it comes with purpose. And sometimes the love of God forces us to cross the road. Sometimes the love of God forces us to cross our boundaries and enter into the world of someone else to see it change so it looks like God's world. That's what was happening in these couple of verses. That is the love of God. David said, to whom would you belong? He said, I'm an Egyptian, I'm a slave. Go on a few more scriptures here. Can you lead me? I believe the love of God changes our enemies to be friends of God and friends with us. That people in our family group, our households, people at work, that man, you might think they hate you. They hate your guts. I don't know why they've never seen your guts. Come on. They just don't like us. But the love of God can turn everybody around. The Bible says that once we were enemies of God and God managed to change us. And I believe this love, it doesn't just stop with us, it starts with us. Is that we can see people that once opposed God and opposed God in us. God can turn those people around. He can transform those in a blink of an eye. Because he's not going to let go of people. He can't. His love won't allow it. Then it goes down here, and this is where it gets a little bit exciting. Verse 17, David thought them dusk until the evening of the next day, and none of them got away. Now, okay, it's a bit of a bloodthirsty thing, if you like, kind of films of Russell Crowe in it. This might fascinate you a bit. But the point is this, is that the love of God fights for those who can't fight for themselves. The love of God is a voice for the people who don't have a voice. The love of God is a sound for people that all the sound they have is silence. Thank you. Good timing. The love of God fights for those who are weary. Fights for those who are bound. Fights for those who just don't know what to do. We don't fight them, we fight for them. That's why things like impact prayer meetings are so key. Because we like prayer meetings? No. But we like to see God touching people's lives. This is why when we pray at 5, you know, on a Sunday, do we love prayer meetings? Not particularly. We just pray for you guys that you're going to meet with Jesus tonight. Because we're fighting for you. put it this way. Now I become a Christian, I'm going to fight with my faith so someone else can have that opportunity too. Do you understand that? So the love of God makes us fighters on the inside. Fighters. We stop being whiners and start being winners. And then I love this in verse 18. David recovered everything. I love that. Everything, every relationship, everything. Say everything. Everything. Now, you might think of something that isn't included in everything when you leave the door, but I just want to tell you that everything means everything. Not what you think it means, but what God says it is. Everything is everything. Everything that was stolen, everything that was robbed, will be recovered. That's the love of Jesus. That's the love of God. That's the love that he's put into your heart and my heart, if you know Jesus tonight, is that everything is recovered. Verse 19, nothing was missing. That's powerful. Even on a good day, we forget stuff. Even on a good day, sometimes we're just not very nice with one or two people. We're great with 99, but what about that one? And as we heard last week, God looks at the one as much as he looks at the 99. We need to fight for the one that doesn't know Jesus. We need to fight for the one that's just having a bit of trouble in life. We need to fight for the one that's just got a bit of a bump on their journey. We need to fight for the one that's just got the hump. They just had a rubbish day. The Bible says, consider everything rubbish compared with knowing who Jesus really is today. Everybody has rubbish days. But the love of God refuses to let us stay there. We might have a rubbish day, but it doesn't mean we're a rubbish heap. Any more than go to McDonald's makes you a Big Mac. Then it goes on at the end of verse 19. David brought everything back. Jesus did that. Jesus' testimony about himself was, I have come to seek and save that which was lost. That's the love of God. Breakthrough. It's unconditional. It's strong. It fights. It looks for the one that's missing. As we were heard last week. But this is the love of God. You have this love in your heart if you know Jesus tonight. Does it feel like that all the time? No, but it doesn't change the fact it's there. Do I express it like this all the time? No, but it doesn't change the fact I can. Because we can either love out of our own experience of love, or we can begin to connect with actually the man, there's a love inside of me. I never knew I had it like that. That God's put me here in whatever world we live in, whether we live in Worthing or whether we're coming down from Horsham in a bus, is God has put us here to be part of his recovery package for society. He's put us here with the love of God inside of us so that nothing is missing and everything is rescued. Your time, your resources, your gift, your talent, your treasure, your marriages, your friendships, your workplace friendships, your marketplace experience. God's love wants to restore them all. He wants to rescue them all. He wants to recover them all. He doesn't want anything missing and nothing lacking. That's the love of God. That's what God's love looks like. And then you can read the rest of this story, even on the way back, even these couple of hundred guys that were exhausted and tired. The love of God did not put them to one side, but it included them in the celebration. The love of God is not exclusive like that. It doesn't mean, oh, well, you know, you weren't here, you missed it. The love of God won't allow us to miss it. This is a tremendous, powerful dynamic. I just kind of praying about this coming down here. It's like, God, this is amazing. So I hope everybody's there. And God said, well, actually, if people aren't there, it's because they're not there. I know that. It's not the greatest revelation you're ever going to have. But what's in my heart for you, I'm going to be totally honest with you, is God stirring us up. And he's using a great big stick to do it. And the way he's doing that is he's either going to give us a bit of a prod and a tap, saying, come on, get on with it. Then he's going to stir us up. Or he's just going to stir us up. But either way, he's going to have his way because he's God and we're not. We've sang it for 5 minutes. You are the way. He's saying, really? Because all kinds of ways outside the door, but the love of God keeps us on the way of God. Let's all stand up, shall we? David replied, this last piece is verse I'm going to read out. God has protected us and handed over to us the forces that came against us. That's God's love for you. That's God's love for me in Jesus. He protects us, he guards us, he defends us, he leads us, he provides for us. He is a shelter for us, he's our refuge in time of need. He's close when we're in trouble. He answers when we call upon him. He's not fickle. He's not here 1 minute, gone the next. That's the love of God. But this love of God is not just a personality trait of God. It's who he is. It's his nature. I once heard somebody say this. So I'll just share it with you. If you take love away from a saint, you end up with a sinner. If you take love away from an angel, you end up with a demon. If you take love away from God, you end up with nothing. Because he is love. That's who he is. People over thousands of years have said, what's your name, what's your name, what's your name? And suddenly his name appeared on two legs and it was called Jesus. He said, look at me, this is the love of God. And I'm going to love you and see that I get everything back that's mine. You belong to Jesus tonight. Your life, your destiny, your future belong to God. Whether you know God tonight or not. Your finances, your resources, your home, your house, your marriage, if you're married, your life belongs to Jesus. And he wants to rescue all of it. He wants to redeem the lot. He wants to recover everything. Nothing missing, nothing lacking. That's Jesus. That's the love of God. Let's just close our eyes together just for a moment. I'm just going to pray. Father, I just want to thank you so much that you are love. That you haven't just loved us timidly, but loved us with a passion. You've fought for us. You've won for us. You've established your rule and your reign for us. You are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords. I want to thank you that love put you on the cross. Love kept you there. Love put you in the tomb. Love broke you out of the tomb. Love calls you to ascend and rule and reign right now. Your love is eternal. It's impenetrable, it's undefeated, it's indestructible. Your love is beyond measure, beyond description. Your love always conquers. And I just thank you that tonight, if we know you, we have this love in our hearts. It's not a feeling, it's your reality. Where you are, this love is. And I just pray right now, everyone under the sound of my voice, whether we're single, married, whether we're whatever, mums, dads, is that we're going to live with this fight in our hearts. To see people's lives change and transformed. To see people experience the love of Jesus. So that we can say, God, you've used us to recover someone. You've used us to bring something back. You've used us to restore something. Somebody, some relationship at work, at home, in the street. Lord, you've used us somehow. So put back in place what you've planned to be there. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are the Spirit of love. And I want to thank you that those of us that have received your Holy Spirit, we've got a person who lives this perfectly living in us. It's not a theory, it's a reality. I want to thank you so much that as we just give all of our emotional baggage to you, all of the reasons why we can't, you are the reason why we can. As we give all the excuses of why we won't, you are the reason why we will. Because the love of God is perfect, patient, kind, long-suffering, gentle, kind. The love of God keeps no record of wrongs. The love of God is quick to forgive and forget. That's what we've been talking about. So, Father, I just pray, I don't know about these guys. Lord, just help me. I want to live all the time in this love. I thank you that I can. I thank you you've enabled me to do that. And I choose to do that right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you help me. That you love me enough to change me. You want me to live a little bit more like David did. He inquired. He fought. He battled. He was moved with what was lost. He was passionate about the things of God. He rejoiced in those who rejoiced, and he mourned with those who mourned. He was used as a life rescue force for those who had no other option. He had no prejudice. He had no preconceptions. He was just a vehicle of your love. Holy Spirit, help me, help us to live like that. Not just today, but from today. Thank you, Jesus. Again, I'm assuming. I don't want to assume anything. I made an assumption. Everybody in the room knows Jesus. Maybe you don't. Maybe the Jesus you know is one you visit on a Sunday, in which case he's very happy for that, but he wants to live in you all the time. Maybe the Jesus you know is someone that gives you a bit of a high when you're in worship. Well, Jesus can do that, but Jesus is the high of worship. Maybe the Jesus that you know is just at the end of your crisis call. Your Jeremiah 33:3, help me, I'm in trouble. Well, Jesus is more than just our life belt. He is our future and our destiny. He's our Saviour and our salvation. He's our healer and our health. So if you want to know a little bit more about Jesus, then there's two things you can do tonight. One, come and talk to me or Richard, who was leading the meeting through. Second thing, go to Discover. Because we'll give you a whole load of reasons how you can know Jesus. Why you need to know Jesus. We'll give you a whole load of reasons out of the Bible and how you can become strong in your walk with Jesus. How you can become fruitful in your lifestyle with Jesus. How you can develop great habits of worship and prayer and spending time together. That's what Discover is for. It's not just an hour of time. It's an hour of investment. So we can live as men and women that God wants us to be. Maybe you just need some prayer, just some agreement. Maybe you got a bit of a bump coming up in your week. Maybe you got some things to happen and it's like, actually, I don't really want to go there. Well, don't go there without the love of God going there with you. And we'd love to pray with you. And Andrew, he's another one here, and Tim, who was leading worship, and my wife, and Sharon, a few others, we'd love to agree with you that this week, man, you encounter the love of Jesus in a new way. And it changes us. But you know the love of Jesus as a reality. So there's three things that you can do. Maybe you've got a sickness in your body. Well, let me tell you, the love of God fought for your healing. And the love of God will deliver that tonight for you. What has been won is yours. What has been won is yours. Don't leave tonight thinking, oh, well, I'm a sick person. Sickness belongs to God now. He took it, the Bible says. It doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to me either. Sickness belongs to God, and he's dealt with it. And he's put it in a place that you'll never find it. Cancer doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. He's dealt with it. And he's hidden it, and you'll never find it. Father, I want to thank you right now for anybody here that we just don't really know this Jesus who fights for us, loves for us, died for us, rose for us, prays for us, gives us his power, gives us his word. Father, I just pray right now, if anybody in this room is a little bit like that, let us be bold. Let us have an open heart tonight. Let's just talk to one another in your hearing and just say, Lord, we need you. Lord, we love you. Lord, we want to follow you. Lord, we want to serve you. Lord, we just want to travel in the rest of our lives with you in a new way and in a fresh way. If there's anybody in this room that's just like that, Lord, just let us make these right decisions in these next few minutes. Father, we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, I pray that you continue to stir that word up in our hearts and in our lives, not just now, but from now. And we thank you and we praise you and we give you all the glory. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.